I salute thy voice in praise. It's you that I see. It's you that I see. Sing it out.
Beloved, you are about to listen to a message from Reverend Prince Lai. Reverend Prince Lai is the head pastor of Rescue World Chapel International and the lead evangelist of Christ the Healer Gospel Campaign. He has a dynamic teaching and healing ministry with miracles, signs and wonders that has affected and transformed many lives. And now, the voice of Rescue.
Heavenly Father, your word is already anointed. Anoint this lips of clay and ordained power in my mouth. Pray that by the teaching of your word, let faith enter into the hearts of your people. And let us take obedient steps and let our lives never be the same. In Jesus' precious name, and all shall say amen. Amen. Clap your two hands. So this morning, I'm speaking to you about raising an altar of sacrifice. Psalm 50, verse 5. And I'm going to work with the screen, so work with me. Psalm 50, verse 5. I want us all to read together. If you are ready, say, I'm ready. Good. So we are reading together. One, go. Gather my saints. Oh, I can't hear you. One, go. Those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Amen. Let's read it one more time. One, go. Gather my saints together unto me. Those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. So God says that we should gather his people. Who are saints? When we talk about saints are sinners that has been sanctified by God. Sinners who have been sanctified by God. So as we are gathered here, as children of God, the blood of Jesus has sanctified us and washed us. So we are now saints. We are now children of God. Saints are not Christians who are dead and gone. So that you call Saint Francis Saint something because he's dead and gone.
And yes, Saint Francis, Saint James, and
Saint Peter, because it's that. So you wait till you die, then we make you a saint. No, it's wrong. Tell somebody it's wrong. The meaning of a saint means someone who has been made holy by the Lord Jesus. Someone who has been sanctified. Amen. So lift up your right hand and say, I'm a saint. Say, I am a saint. Because the blood of Jesus has washed me clean. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So ask the person, which saint are you? Are you Saint Eugene, Saint Ignatius, Saint Prince, Saint Mary, Saint Abbey? Yeah. Tell the person you are a saint. Unless you are not born again. Hallelujah. And over here, the writer says that, gather my saints together unto me. Especially those who have made a covenant with me through sacrifice. Now, what is sacrifice? If God is requesting that certain special people should be gathered by sacrifice, only sacrifice should gather them, then what is sacrifice?
Ẹnu ti sọ Onyankopɔn ka sɛ yɛ mu abo ankorofo bi ɔmo ho ɛho te ɛwɔ n'afɔdebɔ mu a na kyerɛ sɛ afɔdebɔ no ɛne deɛ.
Sacrifice entails, or it is the act of giving up something that is valuable to you for something which is of a higher value. Giving something valuable for another thing which is of a higher value.
Na sɛ ka sɛ afɔdebɔ a mɛkyɛ sɛ woyi biribi a ɛsom bo paa ɛma wo ɛde kɔ akɔgye adeɛ bi ɛno nso ɛsom bo paa ɛsen deɛ na nka wohwɛ mpo.
Now, what makes an offering sacrifice is the pain it comes with. So you have to change the word you are using. You have to qualify it well. Then there will be a difference between offering and sacrifice. What makes your offering sacrifice is the pain you go through when you give it.
And it is about the dream who has said, "Nese yeye yeye sika na ya de ba betu eye apori bo box yeye yeye mu a na chese adi na yeye no ewo oye ewo adi na ehu hia ye pa e sika nke beti midi akwa ye pidi nensu ye baba beyi ewo oye mu ni adi ama erade se ni ebe ya onusu ebe shiraye.
So sacrifice is painful offering. You understand? Painful offering. Aforeboyaya. Painful offering. It's what we call the death of Jesus was a painful offering for us human beings. So giving something which is valuable in exchange for something which is of a higher value, what we call sacrifice. Okay. Now, it also has to do with giving, losing something valuable in instead of losing something that is greater. To lose something of value instead of losing something that is of a greater value.
Not just a wushri adia bia, a ya adia and kehunya upa, wushri amano efriwa brabum.
What I mean is that God had to lose his only son so that he will not lose all of us. So to lose something which is important in order not for you to lose something which is more important. So God lost Jesus so that he can gain all of us. He will not lose all of us. Do you understand what I'm saying? So what is an altar? An altar is a meeting point between man and God. Something that connects you and God. Something that becomes a reference, a monument, something that becomes a memorial before God on which you meet God.
It is the castle altar, not the Sabia Buchia Babia, Yanu and Yakupon, Ekosia, our Honor, and you and Yakupon Kunya and Kita Huti.
So physically, when you come to this church, this is the altar. This is where people come to meet God. This is where God also meets his people. So we call this an altar. But an altar can be physical like this, and an altar can also be unseen, can be spiritual. Something you did that has become like a meeting ground for God and you.
And it is over the Jem who has here, not just a Hanum Aya for Bobuchia, Kesia, yes, it is a baby age name, Ayo Yankupon, Aha, and Yanu and Yankupon, Isia, Nayanya and Kita Udi.
So an altar is your platform for transacting business with God. So there is something you can do, or there is something you do that becomes an altar, a memorial before God, that whenever God remembers that thing, he comes through for you, he blesses you, or he delivers you. Now that thing cannot be seen, but it is an altar. Genesis chapter 28, the verse number 18 to 22, Bible says that, and Jacob had a dream, And God visited him. And when he woke up from the dream, he poured oil on the stone and said, this place is Bethel. It is the house of God. God is here. And I didn't know it. And he made a vow unto the Lord that he was going to give God this and this and that. And then he anointed the place. And the Bible said that place became an altar between him and then God. Chapter 31 verse 13. God came to him. Look at chapter 31 verse 13. God came to him after years, so after many years, after about 10 and more years, over 14 years, when he had gone to labor to go and work, more than 14 years, God came back to him. And look at what God said. God introduced himself. He said, I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed the pillar, and where you made a vow unto me. So now arise and get thee out of this land. So God comes to him more than 14 years after and tells him that I am the God of the place you made a covenant. I am the God of the of Bethel. I am the God of the agreement you had with me. I am the God of the altar that you raised. So altars are meeting places. They are references to God. That makes God come through, or God visits you, or God does something for a man. Clap your two hands for the Lord. So now, you don't need to build something physical like this before you have an altar. There are things that you do that becomes a reference. That becomes a covenant with God. That becomes an altar for you. So ask somebody who is seated by you, do you have an altar? You have an altar that is speaking for you in the spirit. Aside the altar of this church that can speak for every member of the church, depending on how you cooperate with the altar, do you have a personal altar? And you don't need to go and look for a stone to turn into your altar. There are things that you do. Jacob did something. Listen, God, anytime, do you know why God always forgives Christians? God forgives Christians. Whenever a Christian says, I'm sorry, God, God is compelled to forgive that Christian because of the sacrifice of Jesus. That altar on Golgotha, in the name of a cross, that place reminds God anytime you go before him and say, Lord, I'm sorry for what I've done. He remembers Golgotha. It has become an altar between God and you. So Jesus is the sacrifice on that altar called the cross on which you and I are beneficiaries. Now there is something you also do as a child of God that becomes a covenant, a memorial, that anytime the devil is attacking you, attacking the work of your hands, attacking your family, attacking your life, God can look at that pain and say that I have a covenant with this brother. So devil, you can't touch him.
Second Samuel chapter 24 verse 25,
we see David who raised an altar because the people in the nation were dying because there was a plague. There was a strange sickness that was killing everybody in the nation because an angel of death has visited and was killing people. The Bible says that he sacrificed something that was very, very expensive in order to stop the angel from further killing his people. You can never raise an altar without sacrificing on it. It is a sacrifice you do that empowers the altar for you. Any altar that doesn't receive sacrifices will not be potent for its people. It will not. So this altar will be strong for certain people here if they keep laying sacrifices on it. It will fight for them. And this altar will not fight for certain people here because they don't lay any sacrifice on it. You get the difference? Genesis chapter 8 verse 20. When God destroyed the whole world with a flood, after Noah came out of the ark, Bible says that for Noah to stop God from doing what he's doing, Noah made a sacrifice and raised an altar to the Lord. And when he raised the altar, God came and said, I will not destroy the world with water again. Until today, God has stopped destroying the world with water. So altars can only be raised with sacrifice. Tell somebody, altars can only be raised with sacrifice. You can't say you have an altar when you have not sacrificed. You don't have an altar. In those days, they were killing sheep, goat, ram, and all sort of things for the altar. They were pouring blood on it so that it would become an altar for them. But in our days, we don't need the blood of goat and sheep and then all those things. We walk by faith. So in walking by faith, we believe that our money, it's our blood. Blood is money. How many of you believe that? Because it's our sweat and our toil. So when we sacrifice our hard-earned money, we have sacrificed our blood for the Lord. And it becomes a memorial. It becomes a sacrifice before God and an altar to God. Now, what is the value of sacrifice? What makes it sacrifice? The value of sacrifice is the pain you incur in giving out that thing. The pain that you go through in giving it out is what makes it sacrifice. The pain you endure or you go through in giving out that thing, or the pain you endure after you give it, is what makes your giving sacrificial. Because there are things you can give to God and it will not move you. There are other things, by the time you are giving to God, you are crying. Or after you give to God, you go back and for 3 months you can't eat, you can't, because you have nothing, and you go hungry for about 3 months, 4 months because you gave to God. There are things when you give to God, you will know that you have given. Your account will shake. You have to walk to work because you sacrificed. You have to hold on your dreams and your plans for something. It will cost you. If the offering you are giving doesn't cost you, it's an offering, it's not a sacrifice. It is not a simple offering you gave. 2 Samuel chapter 24 verse 24. How do I know that? Somebody was giving David something free to offer to God. And David said, no, 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 no. No, I cannot build a sacrifice with something that doesn't cost me. Look at what David said. Everybody watch it. And the king said unto Arunah, no, but I will surely buy it with, or I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God, of which do not cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. So the oxen, the animal David was going to sacrifice, somebody was dashing it to him for free. And David said, no, I can't sacrifice to God something that was given to me for free.
David,
it must cost me. It must cost me. I can't give something that is my stop loss. Something that is my excess. Something that is my stop loss. Something that is okay. This one is out of my disposable income, or this one is just my leftover. David said that no. David said that it must cost me.
David can say,
tell someone seated by you, it must cost you if it will be a sacrifice. If it doesn't cost you, it's not a sacrifice. Listen, I'm only teaching you Bible. You can take it or leave it. If it doesn't cost you, you just gave an offering to God. You didn't sacrifice to God. You don't have an altar of sacrifice. Now, my question is that this year, 2024, have you raised your altar of sacrifice? Ask the one by you. Have you raised your altar of sacrifice? This new year. Ask him, what have you sacrificed so far since you entered into this new year? What new sacrifice have you made? Now listen. By this time, as we're in the new year, don't you think that witches have already sacrificed the people they must sacrifice? It's a new year. Don't you think that the Illuminati and the Freemasons and all the occultic people who are making money through blood, do you think 2024 they will not sacrifice? Are you sure that they will rely on last year's sacrifice or last 2 years sacrifice? No. Every year there are sacrifices you do for the
year.
And that is why they look more powerful than some of us seated here. Because they have altars that have fresh blood. We don't have altar that has fresh sacrifice. We don't have. They have altars with fresh sacrifice every time. So generally, we give cheerfully. But when it comes to sacrifice, we sacrifice tearfully. There are two things.
It is
we give cheerfully.
And the award for the buy a bono
that God loves a cheerful giver. So there is an offering when you are coming, you come with praises and dance. Do you get that one? Hello, do you know that offering? The one that you are smiling when you are giving. That is what Paul calls it. God loves a cheerful giver. When you are giving offering, you give cheerfully. That one, you come with joy and with your handkerchief, and then you drop it. But are you sure that when God was giving Jesus, God was dancing? to come and die. God was dancing. Are you sure that when God asked Abraham that go and sacrifice your only son, Abraham woke up with praise and worship and was very excited? Talk to me, I'm teaching you Bible. Don't frown your face because I'm talking about sacrifice. So there is a kind of offering we give cheerfully, but when it comes to that thing called sacrifice, we don't give cheerfully. Sacrifice is given painfully. We give tearfully. We come with tears in our eyes. It's like, God, I don't want to kill Isaac, but you still say I should kill Isaac. Then you are going and you are crying. That is what we call sacrifice. Psalm 126. If you understand what I'm saying, then you can. Psalm 126. Go there. Give me verse 4. Psalm 126, verse 4. It said, turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. How will it happen? 5. They that sow in tears. Everybody, read with me. Read with me. I'm trying to prove to you from the Bible that there is a giving we don't give with joy. There's a giving. If you give with joy, it's not what God wants. There are times that God is looking for what we give with pain.
Now,
everybody, read it with me. He's showing you how he will turn your captivity, things around for you, how he will change your situation. And look at it. Verse 5, one go. Some people are not reading. I'll bring you the microphone at the back. One go. Again. Again. Am I the one saying it? Oh, talk to me. Am I the one saying it? Am I brainwashing you? Am I teaching you a false doctrine? I am saying that there is a giving that we give cheerfully. That's why the Bible says that the Lord loves a cheerful giver. According to what you have, just come. And I'm telling you that there is another one that he says we should gather people. And he says, don't gather them according to cheerful giving. He said, gather those who sacrifice. And I'm showing you what sacrifice is. And he says that they that sow in tears. So there is a kind of sowing. When you are sowing, you sow in tears. Have you ever given like that before? Ask the one by you. Have you given something you cried? Something. That by the time your hand was going into your bag, you were pulling it back. Have you heard the voice like, oh, give this amount of money? You say, I bind you. This is not God. You've never heard that. That means you have not sacrificed before. Tell me, ask the one by you, have you given an offering you were arguing in your mind before? The one that after giving, you go home and you are hungry for 2 months. Because you sacrificed all your salary. Everything you had in your account. And you are thinking, how will I do this project? How will I complete this work? How will I go to work for the rest of the month?
Says
that they that sow in tears, they will reap in joy. How many want to reap in joy? How many of you want to reap in joy? You want to reap in joy? Do you want to reap in joy? Then he says, what should you do?
Sow in tears.
I know you don't like it, but I'm just teaching. That's all. Last week I was teaching you about prayer. And you were happy, right? Today, a true sacrifice. So, today I'm doing sacrifice.
For the boy,
next week, I'll teach something else. I'm going. It's your own cup of tea. Me, I'm doing my work as a teacher. I'm just teaching you. I mean, baby, start me trying to one church. I'm teaching you, though. You take it or leave it. What I'll teach you, if you want to go pray every day, what did you say? Last week or last 2 weeks? When was that? Last week. We were even thinking, if you want to grow, pray every day, like nursery people. I'm sure that when you heard me, you say, oh, as for this pastor, he's a good man. See, he's even teaching like Sunday school teacher. Pray every day if you want to
grow.
Today you have come to church, I'm teaching you sacrifice, and you are talking in your head that you see what the pastor, you see why I don't go to church, you see why, because I don't go to church because pastors like money. But when you came and I was teaching, if you want to go read the Bible, you said I was from God. Today you say I'm from the devil. The same person. Just last week I was from God. Today that in church I know baby a drone a drew said, and then you see me free. Bye. Other one by you. Are you talking? Are you talking like that? I'm not interested in your money. In church, and I'm here in a true way. So, last 2 weeks, me church said a kind Bible. Last 3 weeks, me now. Last 2 weeks, me twaso. Sa, my church said the idea we are bwabra bo konkro. Any German born seminar, my canina. Just said that Uba sorry now nah, make a sacrifice. Men boom a thing. So let me just read. It's your own cup of tea if you judge me. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. May you reap in joy. 2024, may you reap in joy. I said this year, may you harvest in joy. For you to harvest in joy, he gave a prerequisite. He said, you must be sacrificial. You must be someone who sow in tears. Go to verse 6. I don't have time. Go to verse 6. Now, we are all reading. We are finishing the story. One, go. Oh, those from the Bible. Are you angry with me already? One, go. Some people ask, I to what's your Bible move? Yes, it's a verse, you know. Okay, change the. You see, whenever I'm doing intricate teachings like this, please change the version for me. Because I was saying, me too, me buna me church him. Now one cast me concern you bunny. Me chow na me answer. Now read. Though one goes along weeping, carrying bag of seed, he will surely come back with shouts of joy, carrying his sheaves, his harvest. Unyoba, how do you call it? Unubaye, Undubaye, coming with your Undubaye. Undubaye. 2024, may you have Undubaye. And up. Inumaye. And then. Inyomaye. Undubaye. Your seeds, your harvest. Carry your seed. Or see, near Okra Naba. Ogu abane enisuomu. Not wasu ogu enisuomu no. Ono na afini beba ne ye ye no. Na okra ni nupa ye e bale we ni jeso. Did you get what he's trying to say? This is Bible. Now, this is what Christians don't understand. We think everything is prayer. No. We think everything is Bible reading. We think everything is singing. Listen to me. In the realm of the spirit, nobody advances in power minus sacrifice.
in the realm of the spirit. Nobody moves from level 1 to level 2 without sacrificing something. It's a spiritual principle. Whether you are from the witchcraft camp, it applies there. That is why you may be your mother's favorite, but when they tell her that bring your daughter so that you can become queen mother one, even though she likes you, she has to send you. Afterwards, when she wakes up, she will cry. And she will really cry because but in the spirit, she must pay a price. She cannot sit on that throne, queen mother throne, without a sacrifice. That is why say, it's a principle. It's the principle. The one who is going to sacrifice, bring your son. Then you think that you'll be happy to go for your son.
No.
But for you to rise to a certain rank in the spirit, for you to have certain amount of money, you have to operate in certain dimensions of power and money and
faith.
Your brother must go. Your son must go. Your daughter must go. You may cry while giving it, but afterwards he will make you rich. You may cry while doing it, but afterwards you will win the election. You become powerful. Now, this is how things are being done in the spirit.
And then
the Christian is snoring. He's snoring. He doesn't know what others are doing in the spirit.
Now,
God has not asked us to bring our children. God has not asked us to bring. He only says that we should sacrifice the seeds he has given us. Which is the money he has given us. Which is what we have worked hard for. Ours is the cheapest. The Illuminati people, they wish they are in your shoes. They wish all they are asked to give is money. But unfortunately, when they get to a certain level, they now ask them for blood. But from beginning, they will not ask for blood. They will tell you, ask for this one, you will not kill anybody. You will ask for this one. Then they will start with you, just with something. Then you start, then some money start coming. Then you start your level, so that I want more. Then you tell you, no, the level you have got into, for you to go more, you have to make a sacrifice. Then they say, what must I do? Then they will tell you, somebody will die. Then by that time, you are stuck. You have to do it. Ask somebody, tell somebody, but you don't be deceived. And so, in the kingdom of God, for Abraham to get to the next level, God demanded a sacrifice of his son. There is no rising, no change of level without sacrifice. So sacrifice is the surest way to greatness and fortune, even in the Christian life. Today, God has the whole world. How did God get many sons? By giving his only son. He gave one son. That was all he had. Today, he has all of us. Do you know the number of churches that people have gathered by this time? All over the world. Meanwhile, before, God had only one. And he sacrificed it. If you have more of what you have, then it comes by sacrificing.
and then you can have more. Jesus says that give, it shall be given to you, pressed down, shaking together, running over. You shall have more. To have more of what you are holding, it comes by sacrifice.
Abraham
sacrificed. God asked him for his only son. Genesis 22, verse 15 to 18. After he lifted up the sword, God realized that he had sacrificed the boy in his heart. And then God told him, stop it.
Wait.
He has passed the test. That's why I always say that if you pass the test, God will not let you write it. But the test you don't pass, God will let you write it. When he lifted up the sword, God saw that the guy has sacrificed his son in his heart already.
Then
look at what God told him. Look at what God told him. Myself, I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this, you have sacrificed your son on the inside, and have not kept your son from me. Ask the one by you, what do you keep from God? What amount have you decided to keep from God? As for you, you will never give a certain level. You have made up your mind that you can never sacrifice 500, 1,000. You can never sacrifice 5,000. You can never sacrifice 100,000. You can you have got, there's a level you have never reached. He says that because you did not withhold your son from me. He says, I will indeed bless you and I will make your offsprings as numerous as the stars in the sky. May the Lord bless you indeed.
Amen.
Oh, let me hear your amen from the back.
Amen.
I said, may the Lord bless you indeed.
Amen.
He said, I will indeed bless you. He didn't say I will bless you. Because chapter 12, he has told him I will bless you already. So chapter 22, when now he now passed the exams of sacrifice. When God now came, God now said, I will bless you indeed. Do you understand the word indeed? Practical. Practical. That means the blessing will not be worse anymore. You will see it practically in your life. I pray for some people who are gathered here that 2024, may you see the practical blessings of God.
Amen.
Let me hear your amen like thunder.
Amen.
Clap your two hands for the Lord.
I
will bless you indeed and make your children numerous. He had only one, and God says, give it to me. When he came to give it to God says, now I will give you many children. Give you many children. As the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore, your offspring will possess the gates of their enemies. And what happened? And all the nations of the earth will be blessed by your offspring because you have obeyed my commandment. This promise is still happening. It's still happening. That is why when Jesus decided to come, Jesus came from him so that his offspring, his seed, will bless all of us. So today we are in Africa, but his seed, called Jesus, has saved all of us. Everybody is mentioning his grandson's name. God blessed him. He had only one son, but today we all call ourselves the children of Abraham. We all say Abraham our father. Go to the Middle East. Most of the people who are there, nations fighting themselves, they are all his children. They are all his children from his
roof.
Most of the countries there, not just Israel, they are descendants. Either with this second wife or first wife or concubine or whatever. They are scattered in the whole of Asia. Yeah. The Lord blessed him and made him numerous like he promised. But it's by sacrifice. I pray that business you are holding, after you engage in sacrifice this year, may the Lord cause it to multiply.
Amen.
That money in your account, after you engage in sacrifice, may God cause it to multiply.
Amen.
Anytime you are looking for something that is big, sacrifice what you are holding. Every year, this church sacrifices. We carry big money and we go to sow into another church.
That is why God is helping us. That is why God is blessing our members. That is why God is blessing us with properties and with things. That is why God is helping us to build. It's not by our might. It's by sacrifice. And my question to you is that this year, are you going to sacrifice or not? That is my question to you. Are you going to go through this year as if there is nothing called sacrifice? We don't sacrifice when we have. We sacrifice what we the only thing we have. We sacrifice when we don't really have. When we have projects, when we have plans and agenda, when the money is not enough, that is when we sacrifice and God says, this guy did not look at the project he's doing. This guy did not look at the plans he has. This guy did not look at the things he's going to do. This guy did not look at the wedding ahead. He did not look at this. This guy did not look at the visa. He did not look at the things he's working on.
No,
that is what moves God, not the one there is nothing to do.
Yes. Clap your two hands together for them. Noah sacrificed.
Two animals came from the ark, yet he killed one of them. Now, the Bible told us in Genesis chapter 8, verse 20, that Noah, when you read the verses before, Noah took the animals two, isn't it? Male and female. And when they came out, they were supposed to multiply, isn't it? So now, when he took one of them to kill them, what is that? How would they give birth? That means that he was ending that race, ending that type of animal, because by the time he kills the other sex, then there's no room for procreation anymore. Now, that is what sacrifice is. It makes you look like you are finished. Hey, when you do this, the company will collapse. So, hey, when you do this, how will you be able to travel? Hey, when you do this, how will you get money to build? How will you be able to do? But God will provide. I said God will provide. I said the God that provided in previous years, He will provide for you the more. Say, my God will provide for me. Clap your two hands together for the Lord. Isaac sacrificed. Jacob sacrificed. All these people sacrifice.
Isaac, Jacob,
listen to me. In this kingdom, we gain by losing something. Mark 8:35. We gain by losing something. Whoever will save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life because of me and the gospel will save it. In other words, whoever will save his money, whoever will keep his money from God, he says will lose it. But whoever will lose his money for God, that's the underline, for God, because of God, he says that he will gain it. That's sacrifice. These are the words of Jesus. Now that is what happens in this kingdom. We gain by losing. We gain more by losing. In the world, the more you save, the more you'll be rich. But in the kingdom of God, the more you give, the more you'll be rich. That's what the Bible told us. There is one who scatters, yet he increases. There is one who saves beyond necessary this level, and he becomes poor. That's what the Bible tells us.
Now, If you
are a giver, you are not a fool. If you are
a
giver, you are not a fool. You are not giving your money because you have nothing to do with your money.
You understand the principle.
If you are
giving, it's not because you have. Some of you sit down, you see people give, say, oh, because this is what they have. Because this is what they don't know what to do with their money. It's not true. They are actually in need of something. They are looking for something. Because it is what you give that determines what you receive.
If you say,
now understand that sacrifice is not a one-time event. It must be a continuous lifestyle. That's what I'm telling you. Every year they sacrifice. So every year we must sacrifice. 1 Samuel chapter 2 verse 19. We don't sacrifice once. We sacrifice over and over. New levels demand new sacrifice. New levels you will get to will demand new sacrifice. Listen, there is nobody who can say he writes exams once and he completes the whole school year.
You just
wrote the first exams and you are done with the whole school year. Every level you get to.
You have to sacrifice to learn, sacrifice to sit down, to learn, to remember, to write.
Sacrifice.
For you to go to the next.
In the same way, financially, when you look at where you have gotten to, the only way you can change to the next level is when you
sacrifice.
If you are not happy with the level you are financially, start sacrificing. That's the
key.
You used to take 500 cedis, you gave a certain sacrifice. Today, you are taking 1,000 cedis. You have stopped. You will end there until you even go down. You have to sacrifice to be promoted to the next. I want to be a pastor of people God has blessed.
I just
want to be a pastor of people. By the time they are coming to church, they are in their Land Cruisers, they are blessed. Receive it in the name of Jesus.
Amen. I receive it.
But how can that be possible if I don't show you the master key? How can it be possible? I have to show you. I have to let you know how God does his things. The Bible says that each year, his mother made him a little robe and took it to him when she went with her husband to offer the annual. Oh, are you here? To offer the annual. What is annual? Yearly. Listen, I'm not teaching you what is not in the Bible.
Old Testament,
New Testament. They were giving yearly sacrifices to the Lord.
Old Testament, New Testament.
This is Samuel's mother. Every year she goes with her sacrifice. That's why God bless them. And this year, you will be enlisted among those God will bless.
Amen.
Listen, there are testimonies of people who started this church as nobodies that through sacrifice today, they have become somebody's right in this church.
Oh yes.
There are some you don't know. But I have seen that sacrifice has been the determinator or the thing that determines. Sacrifice has been the determinator. Because they are the people I see sacrificing.
If you say, "Omo yen krofu adani den,"
then all of a sudden I see them having new things. Things are happening. Doors are opening. There are people who are going to marry in this church. They didn't have money. They brought their last and they placed it on this altar. They brought it to me in the office. I told them, "Where put it on the altar?" They came to put it on the altar.
What last money?
One of them telling me his story. Received a call from one woman. The woman took her to the supermarket, mall, and bought, said, choose bed, TV, chair, couch. Like, the woman bought everything.
Now, Mumba, or baby friend, Sebra, or friend, or didn't call, or see young call, didn't call, or what's the
guy came to steal 500 cities. That was national service money.
500 was going to buy the national service.
I said, go and put it on the altar. He came to put it on the altar. He received one phone call from a woman, and the woman took her to a big shop. Said, choose, what do you like? That day, he got his bed, got his TV, got his chair, got like.
Say
sacrifice.
Sacrifice.
Affordable. I've been hearing that testimony. One guy I called last year. I said, I want you to give another sacrifice for the building. We are stuck somewhere. We need help.
I said,
give us 5,000. He said, okay, I'll give 5,000. Now, when he said that, he needed money urgent because he had lost one job already. He has two jobs and he has lost one. And I had come to speak to him that he should offer 5,000 for the project. He didn't say that, daddy, you know, the two jobs I was operating, I think one has shut down, so I'm only operating one. So I don't think I can go. I've given already. I gave in January, so it's almost December. I don't think I can. He didn't say that. He said, okay, I will give. According to he himself, either 2 or 3 days after, he just received a phone call. And when he received the call, he just picked. And it was his boss from that job that he lost. And the boss just told him that, I want you to get back to work, blah, 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 blah. He was just saying, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir, on the phone. By the time he finished the yes, sir, he had his job back. And this is not a job that is paying him $200. Job that is paying 5,000, 6,000. Like, I'm talking to you about big money. And he has been restored back to that second job. Listen, when you get stuck, sacrifice. I'm telling you. When it looks like
water,
that's my secret. When I get there, I say, Lord, church, we need money. You see, one time one of my pastors called me that, somebody said, hey, you people right now, you have a land there, you have building, and they are sorry, and it's cow more. Then I laughed. When the person told me that, I laughed. Then I just told the person, Koka Chen is Uncle Stati. Do you know how many pastors are struggling? Do you know how many churches have been in existence for over 20 years? And they are not well near. Not about it. Every year, I carry sacrifice. Every year. That is the secret.
any secret, you know.
So what we are having is not what our money can buy.
The things happening.
Amen. Clap your two hands for them. Tell somebody that add sacrifice to your formula. Add sacrifice. You are planning for your future. You are planning for a project. You are planning for your event. But you have not added sacrifice. Sacrifice can bring you scholarship. I'm telling you. I'm a living testimony. Sacrifice can make doors open for you. It can get you a new job. Sacrifice can bring your husband. It can bring intervention. Sacrifice. Let me close you. Write this down. The benefits of raising an altar of sacrifice. I'm closing. Write it down. These are the benefits you get if you are a Christian who sacrifices. Any chance you get, you sacrifice something. One, sacrifice averts or reverses curses. It reverses curses. It doesn't matter the curse in your father's house. If you are sacrificial, you will break it. I'm telling you. God himself have cursed the earth. Noah sacrificed in Genesis chapter 8 verse 20. And God said, Walai talai, I will not destroy the world again with water.
Sacrifice.
So if I've had curses, so I don't know the curse in your father's house. If you can spot a curse that is working against you, sacrifice and bring to God and say, God, let this curse be affected. Lord, look upon this sacrifice. Maybe you can remember your mother cursed you before dying. Your father cursed you when you were young. You can remember that there are some curses working against you. Use sacrifice to reverse it. Number two, sacrifice reverses plagues and calamities. Sicknesses, calamities, things that are happening to everybody. Sacrifice is able to stop it. I declare over everyone seated here that every plague that is destroying people in your background, it will never affect you.
Amen.
Oh, let me hear your amen. I said every plague that is moving from one family member to another in your area, it will never come to your door.
Amen.
How do you reverse plagues and calamities? David did it. People were dying on the land, and David sacrificed. 2 Samuel 24, verse 25. And the death ceased. The death ceased. People stopped dying. The land was delivered. 2 Samuel 24, 25. The land was delivered. He built an altar to the Lord there and offered burnt offerings and fellowship offerings. Then the Lord answered his prayer on behalf of the land, and the plague on Israel ended. Let every plague of no wedding in your family end in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Let every plague of barrenness end in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Let every plague of joblessness end in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Let every plague of poverty end in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Let every plague of school dropout situations end in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Clap your two hands together for the Lord. Number three, sacrifices turn around captivity. Psalm 126, verse 1 to 5. It says that when the Lord turned around our captivity, our slavery, our pain, when the Lord changed it, that means change of story. The Lord can turn around your captivity. Things that are going on, challenge, bibiato, something has happened to you, and things are not working. It's called a captivity. You need it to stop. Look for a sacrifice. and second.
Look for a second.
And not that I comfort or more sacrifice. And not that one more Muslim or Muslim more sacrifice. They use chicken, they use goat, because they know that when something is happening and you use sacrifice, it can stop it.
If you say I comfort any more yes, animal, you say, oh, kum, and yan, kum, kukoninano, when we say, a dear be about, or yet, be about,
this year, may any calamity that is about to happen to your children, may it be stopped by the blood.
Amen.
And by your sacrifice, say an amen.
Amen.
Clap your two hands for the Lord.
Number
4, sacrifice releases generational blessings. God told Abraham, Genesis 22, 16 to 18, now I know that you fear me. Now I know that you love me. Said, in blessing I will bless you. All your children shall be blessed. That is what God told Abraham when he sacrificed. So when you sacrifice, even your children will be blessed.
I command
every trace of poverty in your bloodline is eliminated by the sacrifice.
Amen.
Every trace of a curse that moves from father to son, mother to daughter, grandchildren to grandparents, to grandparents, I command in the name of Jesus, it is eliminated right now.
Amen.
It is eliminated right now.
Amen.
Clap your two hands for the Lord. Sacrifice releases generational blessings. The next one, sacrifice provokes unusual favor. 1 Kings 3, verse 3 to 5. God appeared to Solomon. Solomon sacrificed. And God appeared to him and said, what do you want? That is unlimited favor. What do you want?
God
will favor you. That is the source of Solomon's riches. Just sacrifice. Solomon didn't do anything
special.
World richest man till today, Solomon.
1
Kings chapter 3, verse 3 to 5. And then, sacrifice releases financial fortunes. That is riches and wealth, like I've just said. The story of Solomon. 1 Kings 3, verse 13. God told Solomon, even what you have not asked me, I'll add to you. That is money. I'll add to you. And God made him rich. God made him rich. Sacrifice, next one, provokes answers to prayer. Provokes answers to prayer. Whenever you are praying and it seems like God has not answered, it seems like God, every year you are praying about the same thing. Attach a sacrifice. Attach a sacrifice. Attach a sacrifice. Attach a God. Look upon this sacrifice. Something dangerous. Something powerful. Something dangerous. 2 Samuel 24:25. Bible says, and God heard the prayer of David when he sacrificed and stopped the death and the killings on the land. And then final one, sacrifice leads to multiplication. It will make you increase. It will make you multiply. It will make the small in your hands multiply. It will make the few become small. The small salary can increase. The small project money can increase. The small money in your hands can multiply by sacrifice. John 12 verse 24 says, if the seed falls down, even though it abides once, it begins to become fruitful and multiply. So when you sow that one corn, you will have a whole plantation of corn. That is how sacrifice works. That is how sacrifice works. Isaiah 51, the verse number 2. God sacrificed Jesus. Today he has children all over the world. Multiplication. I charge you this day that as you go through this year, look for opportunities to sacrifice. Don't just pray. Ask sacrifice. Tell somebody, don't just pray. Ask sacrifice.
Oh,
I just tell someone who is sleeping. Tell the person, add sacrifice. Don't just pray. Don't just be a holy Christian. Ask sacrifice. Tell him. Don't just be holy. I taught you holiness, but today I'm teaching you that aside your holiness, practice sacrifice. It will make you dangerous. It will make you powerful. It will keep the devil far from you. And it will stop every evil that is ongoing in your life. It will make you have favor without limit. And it will make you prosper, you and your children. Clap your two hands together for the Lord. Rise up to your feet.
Beloved, thank you for listening to this message by Reverend Prince Lai. If you have been blessed by this message and have not surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, kindly say this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died that I may live. Please forgive me and wash me with your blood. I believe I am a child of God. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. If you have said this prayer, know that your sins have been forgiven and you are now a new creation. We invite you to worship with us on Sundays at Odoko, adjacent Best Point Savings and Loan, Odoko Market. For more information, please call 0543-248-982 or 0241-372-895. God richly bless you.